Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Jake.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And today we have a very special guest. We have co-host of the Super Sentai Brothers, co-host of Spectre, Matt J. Welcome to the show.
Hello. This is me. I'm Matt. I'm here.
Hi.
Two Matts on one show is a thing I'm very used to at this point, but it's never happened on this show yet, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I have just learned in my life to always assume that there's going to be at least one other Matt in the room.
God, that is a truth that I don't know that any other name has to deal with, and I hate it, but man.
I think Chris probably is a close second, if I had to guess.
I mean, Jacob was the most popular name for boys for like 15 years, but I only know one other one in real life, and it's my best friend. So...
When I was a freshman in college, I was one of five Matts on my hall.
Oh, wow.
I was one of two Matts in my room. My roommate was also named Matt.
Oh, that's
wild.
Here's the dirty secret about Matts. We have a metaphysical gravity, and we are drawn to each other. And eventually there will be an Ultra Matt.
It's like Ultra Magnus, but slightly different.
Yeah.
That's the day that the seals start breaking and the sky turns to ash, and listen, it's bad and we don't want it.
Or horns or bowls, it's a whole thing.
Anyway, yeah. Aside from your very common name, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself.
you've already mentioned the only other things that I really do on the internet. I co-host Spectre with you, which is our monthly James Bond show where we just watched... Die Another Day altogether too many times.
Yes. Matt, you know, other Matt was also on it, and we watched it, I think, six total times. Too many.
You know, I think I'll die another day.
Sigmund Freud. I mean, you're going to have to.
Don't worry, Alan. You'll be happy to know the theme song did not fare well on the list.
No.
No.
And we kind of savaged it during the episode, too. Jake did a dramatic
bad.
Reading. It was
I did
awful.
A dramatic reading. It's bad. So you're on Spectre.
Then the other show that I do is I am one half of the Super Sentai Brothers. That is a podcast my brother and I do where we are watching the old Japanese Super Sentai shows. I say old, we're not watching the oldest ones. We've sort of hit this pocket of early to mid 90s where we started with Jetman and we have gone through to where we're now watching Car Ranger. Or rather, we started with Die Ranger, but like then we jumped back to Jetman. It was a thing. And we skipped G Ranger. Basically, it's just 90s stuff that we feel like.
Yeah, it was nice. Y'all just skipped over the Mighty Morphin one because that would just kind of get weird, I feel like. And
well, you know, that's kind of why we skipped it, is I feel like everyone else is already... Like, if you haven't spent a lot of time talking about Super Sentai stuff and you have talked about one of them, it's going to be G Ranger.
Yeah.
So I figured that, like, there was enough coverage of Zyuranger, and the tagline of the show is that we are the best and only podcast dedicated to whatever show it is that we're watching that season, and I feel like we probably the best, but certainly not the only Zyuranger podcast,
right.
And I just wouldn't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, you gotta keep that, like, level of integrity.
Also, Zyuranger is lightly cursed for us because we have, on I think three separate occasions, tried to do a special episode where we watched the first, like, two-parter of Zyuranger, and every time it's screwed up for a different reason.
Yeah, that's Babadook.
So, like, we just can't do it now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no going back to Zyuranger.
Yeah.
I would rather do Day of the Dumpster than Zyuranger at this point.
Day of the Dumpster's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, pretty good half-hour television.
It goes downhill for a while until Green with Evil, but...
I mean, I disagree entirely. You got Pudgy Pig, episode 6. You got the body swap episode
Matt,
9.
What we like to do with
Happy
guests
Birthday Zach, where they put a hole in a monster,
is for you to kind of pick a few different options for us, and then we kind of just go from there and let some RNG figure out what we're going to do.
Okay. So you sent me the list ahead of time, and most of the things on this list I'm familiar with. There's a couple of, like, man, I really thought I knew a lot of, like, old-timey stories, but I don't know what a Johnny Dollar is.
Oh, same.
Or
no idea what that could be.
Who put it on the list? Okay. Well, before we go on, can someone just Google Johnny Dollar for me real quick? Because if it's good, maybe we should talk about that.
I can tell you, Johnny Dollar is an old radio drama of a private eye. It was recommended that we put it on our list by Riley Hopkins. One of their friends is addicted to it, and Riley might be also. That was way when the show first started. But yeah, radio drama detective guy.
Okay. Well, I do like radio dramas and detective guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and it doesn't say anything like snazzy about like what the hook was. It's just like it was a private eye radio drama in 1955.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not like he was a private eye in 1955 on a radio serial and also a mummy.
Right, no, yeah. Right. It wasn't Johnny Dollar, okay. Man made out of dollar bills. He was, maybe he had a lucky dollar. Here, as originally conceived, Johnny Dollar was a smart, tough, wisecracking detective who tossed silver dollar tips to waiters and bellhops.
I mean, 1955, that's a
hefty chunk of change. Tip. Yeah, other than that, I'd have to read more to know anything else about it. I just learned the most I ever did about Johnny Dollar.
I think it is important to also say that we treat the source material real loosely in this house. So if we want to go buck wild with whatever you come up with, we will go buck wild with it.
Okay, so Johnny Dollar could be a mummy is what you're saying.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you want to put Johnny Dollar on the list and it gets picked, we can have a good time talking about the mummy Johnny Dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, now I would feel weird if we didn't put it on the list of it, at least the available choices.
All right, Johnny Dollar's on our list. What are our other four?
Okay, the other four are Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Dope.
The Three Musketeers.
Solid.
The Beauty and the Beast.
Another good one.
Ooh, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Now, we have done that already, but it's...
You have done that one, okay.
We did it but so we long can ago revisit. That we could do it a whole new one if you want.
Well, that means it happened 2 years ago.
What did you do it
ago?
As?
We made Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde into a high fantasy comic book about, like, elves and shit.
Yep, and you could, like... there were certain ways to flip read it and stuff that landed in the middle... kind of interesting.
Okay. He's not on the list, but is Don Quixote in the public domain?
Let's find out together.
Everyone's favorite section of every podcast. Let's Google it.
Google.
I see no reason why he shouldn't be. It's fucking old.
1605.
Yeah, I bet that's in the public domain. If I had to guess, that guy probably died over 70 years ago, so I bet.
Yeah.
I bet it's in the public domain.
Good old Miguel Cervantes, right?
Yep. Miguel de Cervantes. Right on. Got it in one. That's the Soul Calibur guy, right?
Yeah. The pirate from Soul Calibur.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be
dead. Also, it is on a source that we have used before, which is Public Domain Superheroes, does list Don Quixote as a public domain.
That seems a little nebulous.
Well, I mean, it's the source we use for the superhero episodes, so...
The original Spanish writing, the original book of Don Quixote is absolutely public domain, so...
Okay.
Do you want to swap him for one of them?
Do we already have five on the list?
Johnny Dollar, Robin Hood, Three Musketeers, Beauty and the Beast, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and we can add a six, Don Quixote.
Let's pull Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Unless any of you had like a sudden flash of brilliance with Beauty and the Beast.
I honestly, it's good that it's taken off. I don't know if I would be able to talk about anything other than Beastly Golden. And more specifically, Jenny Nicholson's video about Beastly.
Okay.
Fair.
It's a good video.
I just think about Zaldan wanting to fuck Beast.
Yeah, and then there's a whole thing in Kingdom Hearts about how one of the bad guys wants to have a threesome with Beauty and Beast, and it's all there. It's all right there in the text.
All text.
Great.
Kingdom Hearts is weird, y'all.
Yep. All right. Alan, you got a D5?
Well, I got a D6, and I'll reroll on sixes.
Cool.
One.
Johnny Dollar, did you rig
Johnny
that?
Johnny Dollar.
No, I did not. That was the will of the dice.
The fates have spoken. So here's how what we normally do is on an episode where one of us is like, I guess, like spearheading the thing, is we will say, like, Johnny Dollar's a property, and so it's going to be like this genre and this medium. And Matt, since you are our guest, you get to pick the genre and medium. What tickles your fancy?
Okay, so it started as a radio serial.
Yes.
So it would be dumb if we did it as a radio serial. But if it's a series of detective stories, those work well as a series of some sort.
Yep.
What if we do it as a TV series? I don't know if we should go live action or animated. If we're going live action, I'm just trying to think of how The Mummy's going to play better.
Now, I want to tell you, Matt.
Yes.
You can get, we have in the past gotten so nebulous as to say, like, a CW-style TV series. So if you want to get weird with it and be, like, a sci-fi original TV series,
yeah,
that'll give us a flavor. So you can get as deep as you want to on this.
Okay. I was going to say it should be like a BBC show, but then it would be like Johnny Pound, and that's not a great name.
Johnny Pound is...
Well, for a certain type of work.
That's pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. That's going to lead us down a certain path.
And look, here's the thing. Let's not get rid of Johnny Pound, because at some point down the line, his rival from England, Johnny Pound, is going to have to come over, and then his rival from Germany, Johann Deutschmark, is going to come over. Every country
nowadays,
has a Johnny Dollar, is what I'm
Johann
saying.
Johann Deutschmark just changed his name to Johann Euro, so...
Oh, did he? Yeah. Well, he's a relic of the past.
Oh, God, a Johnny Dollar cinematic universe.
Okay,
oh,
well,
no, that's when they hop universes.
The way we're going to have to make this work is that this has to take place prior to the creation of the Euro. The Euro was, what, 2003?
Yeah,
I mean,
that
we
sounds
could even
about
do like
right.
A retro future thing if we want to.
I was about to say, and totally the original, if it helps, the original was done in 1950. So
1950.
We can stay away from that, but it does have kind of that older charm.
Okay, now I do love 50s detective stories. I love older detective stories than that. As I was looking at this list, I was really sad that The Thin Man is not in public domain, because The Thin Man is incredible.
Yeah.
And also weirdly difficult to find. Like, it's the only way you can watch Thin Man movies is like renting them from iTunes. Yeah. They're just not streaming.
Yeah, or if you go to like a like some sort of used DVD store that like bought up all of Borders old stock,
right,
you can get like a $700 collection of all the Thin Man movies, and those are the two ways to watch it.
Okay, so why don't we do it as some sort of television series? I'm not married to like animated or live action or a particular network. I think maybe we can find that as we go.
Okay.
Totally cool. So we got our medium. What's our genre going to be? Are we just going to keep it detective, or you want to make it like horror, pulp? Like where are you leaning?
Okay.
Where's The Mummy factor in?
Well, The Mummy's going to be real important. So.
Or are we doing a Mummy Johnny Dollar in the 22nd century? Like, what kind of...
The thing is, I'm that worried. I don't want to go too Jim Butcher, right?
Right.
Right.
Like, that's a real danger.
So probably not urban fantasy.
Not urban fantasy. What if we do...
I gotta tell you, Alan said a goof there, but Mummy Johnny Dollar in the 22nd century is now just lodged
Mummy
in my
Johnny
brain.
Johnny Dollar in the 22nd century.
It's no, see, Sherlock Holmes did the X in the 22nd century.
So much better. Sherlock Holmes rolls so smooth.
I mean, they got it in one. I don't think we need to retread that.
I mean, there's also The Phantom 2040, which is extremely good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anything's better than The Phantom, so.
I like that movie.
What if...
That movie confused me as a child.
What'd you say,
Billy
Matt?
Zane.
Yeah, I love a Billy Zane.
What if we do it as a neon noir?
Okay. Hell
okay.
Yes.
So, like, it might be present day, it might be slightly future, it might be, like, vaguely cyberpunk.
Okay, so it's, but it still has that, like, kind of, like, the all the noir, like, yeah, feel
it's got, like,
to
the noir,
it.
It's got the noir themes, but a more sort of, like, modern slash slightly futuristic trappings.
Okay, well, let me just pop on back.
Okay, bright color palette.
In a very bright color palette against a very dark background.
Yeah. So if it was animated, we'd be doing a Batman the Animated Series style where we'd be drawing this all on black paper.
Absolutely. But it would be like Batman Beyond style.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell y'all some really cool stuff about the original Johnny Dollar radio drama, please?
I know nothing.
So its actual title was Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Mm-hmm. It is
okay.
It's the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Okay.
All right.
That is the dumbest thing that can be beautiful and perfect.
It ran for 809 episodes.
What? Ooh, that's a lot. I mean, they did like basically one a day, you know, back then. So
mm-hmm. It looks like it was weekly,
and they weren't like long.
Each story of the Bailey years, because Bailey was one of the Johnny's Dollar.
Okay,
he did 484 of them.
Of course, he did. That took him a year and a half. Usually started with a phone call from an insurance adjuster calling on Johnny to investigate an unusual claim, suspicious death, attempted fraud, missing person, or other mysterious circumstances. Each story required Johnny to travel to some distant locale, usually within the United States, but sometimes abroad, where he was almost always threatened with personal danger in the course of his investigations. He would compare notes with the police officials who had first investigated each strange occurrence, and followed every clue until he figured out what actually happened. Johnny's file on each case was usually referenced as a matter. This gets boring. Okay.
They were originally 30 minutes, then they dropped down to 15 minutes, 5 nights a week. And it was, friends. It was originally titled Yours Truly, Lloyd London.
Lloyd London. Yeah, I was reading that. Originally, he worked for Lloyd's of London, where his name was Lloyd London.
Hi,
I'm Walmart. I work at a major retail company.
Well, okay, so we at least now know where Johnny Pound works.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Can I read some of these titles?
Sure, please.
Murder Ain't Minor. How Not to Take a Vacation in Fairfax, Virginia. The Expiring Nickels in the Egyptian Jackpot.
There's your mummy.
Witness. Well, there it is. Witness. Mother, call my draft board. I'm leaving the country again.
What does that even mean?
Press out my asbestos dinner jacket, mother. I'm going to smoke.
Who
the missing Chinese stripper.
Wow.
Let's see. Where are some other fun ones? And then towards along the way, it just becomes the something-something matter. So the Leland case matter, the Rum Barrel matter. But yeah, it looks like all the fun ones were in the original, like, run. The first, how many or so episodes?
His first 400 episodes.
Around 33. Goes a little bit further than that. About 100 or so.
The last episode was The Tip-Off Matter in 1962. They tried to make it as a TV show twice in the late 50s and early 60s, and neither of them worked.
So what you're saying is it's finally time. We're finally ready for a Johnny Dollar television show.
Yep. They failed to make two TV shows, or they made two TV shows that failed?
They failed to make two TV shows. None of them made it past
okay.
pilot. Oh, man.
How I Played Santa Claus and Almost Got Left Holding the Bag. You lead a diamond mother and the game will really get started.
I'm worried about the relationship this man has with his mother.
How I Got a Wildcat Oil Operation by the Tail, or The Youthful Millionaire.
Okay, we're too deep in the weeds. We just,
so good.
The old titles don't matter. We can throw those out. We can take what we want. We need to figure out
The reason I like the old titles is I think it gives us a little bit of leeway to get weird with it, because clearly the source material wasn't afraid to get a little goofy.
Yeah, you're right. Normally we're pretty conservative with how weird we get on this show.
That's fair.
Hi, I am a fan of the horse wearing a spacesuit helmet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's not in it because that's too stupid. That's the one thing that's too stupid for this show.
Matt, of too stupid is.
Is it stupider than a horse wearing a spacesuit helmet?
Now, is that, you got to tell me, is that something that actually came up that you decided to push back against?
Yes.
In what context?
We have it's actually not our next one, but the one after. We have three ongoing universes, and one of them is basically a Netflix series based on pulp characters.
Pulp space heroes.
And it's like a space opera, and Matt said, what if there's a horse, or maybe it was Alan, one of you two dipshits.
It was one of us. I don't remember which.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
What if the horse had a space helmet? And I said, no, that is too stupid, and that's the line. So that's kind of become the rubric for how dumb we're allowed to get.
If we ever get shirts, that will be on one.
For sure. So Matt J., because there's two of you, I need to differentiate. What any initial ideas for like overarching plot or like how to kind of like neon noir up this insurance investigator Johnny Dollar?
Okay, so if it's set in the year, I don't know, like 2029, right?
Okay,
like just enough in the future that like. Things can break bad in just a couple of years, guys. So it might be in like a weird cyberpunk dystopia in 9 years. Who knows?
It could be any time, yeah.
So we put it a little bit into the future, right?
Right.
He's an investigator of insurance claims. And, okay, I'm going to keep thinking of him as a mummy until we decide whether or not he is in fact a mummy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so if he's a future mummy,
the best kind,
then that opens up a few questions, which is he a guy who's alive now who gets mummified, or is he a very old mummy who has lived a long time, and that's why he's good at investigating things?
Ooh, I kind of like that, because that also gives us the whole of his backstory. To bring up anything from mummy times until 2029, you could get anything you want in there.
Or maybe he's a dude from the 50s who died and got mummified. Give it a nod back to the original series.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I think the only thing that comes to my mind is let's not do an Egyptian mummy, because I feel like that's a little expected. And I think it'd be fun to do something kind of weird and different.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I am not thinking of him as like a dude from Hotep. Egypt. Yeah, like I'm thinking of him as like a detective from the 70s who's immortal.
If he got mummified,
and, like, wrapped up in bandages.
If he got mummified in the 50s, as like a nod to the original, like when it originally aired, like there could be at some point in the show where we kind of wink, like maybe it's the same Johnny Dollar. Mm-hmm. He just got shuttered up at CBS for a while. I like it.
So the original Johnny Dollar, it says, was he did a tour in the Marines and then was a cop for a decade, and then he became an insurance adjuster. Do we want our Johnny Dollar to have a similar sort of background pre-mummification and investigation careers?
I
guess those are two parallel career tracks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're basically hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we could talk about that, because like the plus sides of like being a cop and a Marine is like combat training, all that classic stuff, and like you know detective work being kind of like a thing that he's already done, but. Also, we could do anything at all and just be like, oh, he's also a good detective. Like how Batman's somehow a good detective.
Yeah. Okay, so let's lean away from this sort of military police background.
See,
what do you what's the prologue to life as an immortal mummy detective?
I feel like I part of me wants to say like the really easy thing, which is like a museum curator.
Okay.
But like, I don't know how you transition from that to insurance investigation.
Was he maybe like we're in the future, right? We're in some part of the future.
Yeah.
Maybe
at
he
least
was like
10
there
years in the future.
He was some cross between their artifact recovery guy and their artifact protector guy. So he was like a super security guard, but he also would like go out hunting for things.
He's just acquisitions.
Yeah, okay. They're acquisitions guy. And sometimes that means them from bad people.
So kind of a cross between an archaeologist and a tomb raider. And
with a little bit of Nate Ford from Leverage thrown in for flavor.
Oh, for sure. A former investigator himself.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say,
that's
leans pretty well towards investigation because, like, if you are an archaeologist and, like, curator, then those are both jobs that require a lot of, like, meticulous research.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The sort of thing that might lend itself towards, other forms of meticulous research.
Now, here's the thing that I think I need to voice before we get too much farther into this. Insurance companies are the bad guys of the modern era. One of many.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Ooh, maybe they tried to make him do something he didn't agree with, and so they were like, oh, we're going to kill you, but they failed.
Or, what if, because remember, freelance is an important word in this sentence.
Freelance insurance investigator, he makes sure that the insurance companies can't screw you.
He's investigating the other direction.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I like that.
Y'all denied my claim for my mom's illness. Well, let me go break into the hospital records. Oh, no, this guy screwed up. The insurance now needs to pay you out everything. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Good.
Okay, so Johnny Dollar is himself supernatural, right? Or at least, like, he didn't probably start supernatural, but he has at some point in his life/unlife become a supernatural creature.
Yes.
What other how much other supernatural stuff do we want to let into this? Like, do we want him to be investigating, like, paranormal things?
I feel like that could be a good, like, kind of angle to go, is, like, the things that he investigates are either inherently supernatural or, like, inherently unsupernatural, but there is something supernatural going on that he has to either, like, find a way to prove or find a way to disguise as normal and regular. So I think that could be a good way to, like a good hook.
Right. So, like, if an insurance adjuster or if the insurance company says, hey, we are not going to pay your claim because there's no, like, good explanation for what could have happened here other than you trying to commit fraud. But then somebody goes to Johnny Dollar and says, well, what happened was werewolf
ate my cat.
Right. And then Johnny's got to somehow figure out
how to
plug all the pieces together because they know he believes in werewolves.
Right.
Because he's a mummy.
He's a mummy. Yes. I think that's a good like hook to go, because like you got that classic cyberpunk anti-corporation bent to it. Plus, you got some cool supernatural stuff. Who doesn't want to see a Frankenstein on one of those little pay-as-you-go scooters?
Wow.
That's cyberpunk, baby.
Wow.
Wow. I don't even know what to do with that, Jake. That was...
Just think about it. Just live in that. Just live in that beautiful world where Frankenstein gets to be on a birdie scooter.
That is a mental image that I didn't know I needed.
Well, now imagine the Frankenstein's a big boy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he might be too big for one of those. He had two and had one on each foot, like he was skiing.
Oh, like he can't wear wheelies, so he has the scooters instead.
Oh, now that's pod racing. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Man.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Okay. So here's another question I have about Giant Dollar. Giant Dollar's a mummy. This is a given fact. No one's questioning Giant Dollar's a mummy. I have a question about the origin of his mummyhood, and B, the interim. Does he get turned into a mummy in 1951 or whatever, and then like just keep being a mummy the whole time? Or is it like a Johnny Dollar got turned into a mummy, got thrown in a broom closet or buried under cement or something, and then came back to life when he is freed because of some outside influence?
Some something.
That's a good question. I like the idea of him not having recently, like, gotten free when the show starts. Like, he should already have been free for some time.
Okay.
I don't know if he should have been free the whole time.
Right.
I feel like the show shouldn't start with him, like, rising from his tomb.
Right. But definitely in, like, a relatively recent past, he was detombed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can also do the relatively easy flashback to the detombing. That's part of the mystery of Johnny Dollar.
How
did Johnny Dollar get free? So throughout the course of the season, it does some flashbacks and does some things that bring you into the mystery of how he got out.
This is cyberpunk. Corporations run the future. He was put in the Disney vault.
I mean,
I don't think Disney, I think Disney would have some problems unless this was an ABC show, but then we probably wouldn't be able to talk shit about Disney. So
true.
But yeah, okay, so he'd spent some time trapped somewhere and then was freed somehow, and I like the idea that might also be like part of the central mystery of like what's up. Like, why Johnny Dollar? And why Johnny Dollar?
Okay, so the other thing I think we need to figure out about his mummy status is a way in which we can have this guy be a mummy and not have it be, like, weird and bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have an initial thought.
Okay.
Everest. So one of the corpses on Everest, like he was at Everest doing an expedition, doing something.
Investigating insurance.
And he froze, but it didn't utterly kill him. It just kind of put him in a state of kind of deep coma or whatever that led to a mummification-like state. Or are you wanting a mummy?
I feel like that's, if we do it that way, and I like where your head's at, but I feel like if we do it that way, we're going to lose the sort of supernatural side of things.
True.
Right. It'll be more cryostasis rather than
necromancy.
Yeah. Okay, here, so the thing about the mummy, like the original mummy movie, is that like it's inherently pretty racist, right? Because all old things are like inherently pretty racist. I'm sure if we listened to some old Johnny Dollar things, it would be pretty rough.
I mean, let's probably be clear. The vast majority of Hard Reboot is us talking about, wow, this is racist.
It's yeah, a lot of it is just like de-racisting a lot of things. So instead of making it like purely like Egyptian mummy, you know, like go down that way, what if, follow me here, he has the thing that gave him the mummification, maybe not the mummy, like the mummification, but the thing that like rebirthed him is like some sort of coin, like some sort of dollar coin.
Like a silver half dollar?
Like a silver half dollar. Like how you pay, you put a silver dollar under someone's tongue so they can pay the ferryman. Like that kind of deal. So he has like a magic half dollar that's keeping him alive.
Okay, so he died and someone put a cursed or blessed coin?
Can I run a coin? It could be cursed and blessed, depending on how you flip it.
Exactly.
Can I run with this for a minute? Because I think I might have something here.
All right, hit me.
Okay.
In the late 1950s, an archaeologist went to a dig in Mexico. bad things happen, dude dies, but he did find a trove of treasure from conquistadors that somehow had the 13 silver coins that killed Judas.
Okay.
They got cast into a solid silver coin that was used to, like, that was, like, slipped into that in his pocket when he died. And then, like, the locals were just like, well, we got this white guy that no one knows about. Let's mummy him up, throw him in a tomb.
Yeah, let's just preserve him and get him out of here so he's not stinking up our house. Okay, Matt, this opens up the very real, real is not the word I wanted to use. The very good idea that any coin-based mythologies we just grab and bring on in to the Johnny Dollar universe at large.
Yeah, Johnny Dollar equals coin.
How else are we going to have a Johnny Pound or a Johann Deutschmark? They're all going to have cursed coins.
I've been trying to come up with one for yen, but it's been escaping me.
Jacques Frank?
Jenny Yen?
Jacques Frank is very good.
Jenny Yen.
Jenny Yen, good. Very good. Mm-hmm. So, okay, there's got to be 13 of them. Maybe instead of like the 13 Judas coins being made into one.
Also, you're short about 17 coins.
It's 30.
Yeah, there were
30.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe there are 30 Johnny's Dollar. Each one has one of Judas's silver coins. And that's what brings them back to life and gives them supernatural investigative abilities.
Or maybe not all of the coins were used. And so these Johnny's Dollar all have this thing that connects them, but they don't know what it is until they do research and say, oh my God, there are 7 of us. That means that there are 23 coins left out there somewhere. Could there be more? And then you can set up going for the hunt for the coins.
Yes.
Okay.
And some of the coins can just be
power
ups.
You have a Justice League of Johnny Dollars.
No. The Wire. The network. The Wire network.
Some of the coins can just be power ups. They don't have to be like entire Johnny's Dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go a little Jackie Chan adventures with it.
Yes,
yeah.
Very
well,
much.
Well, you
yes.
just hit one of our go tos. So yeah,
one of our touchstones for sure.
It's a very good show.
It is.
In this house, we respect everything that John Rogers has written.
Yes, in this house, we love and respect John Rogers, even if Alan doesn't exactly know who he is.
It's fair.
Okay, so I love where we're going. I have another question, another little topic bomb to lob in here. The coins are obviously through whatever, you know, meta narrative we need to weave. They are magic. That's a given. That's how you get Johnny Dollars. That's how you get people with random magic coin based powers. Maybe we'll figure out the mythology as we go. Is there like some sort of thing compelling them to either all get every coin? Is it like a gotta catch them all kind of compulsion?
I don't think it's a compulsion, but I see it as a curiosity that like maybe they're drawn together. Maybe they're not drawn to like look for it, but the coins themselves want to be together. So that's why all the Johnny's Dollar keep running into each other and they keep crossing paths, is because the coins are purposefully manipulating destiny to make it to where they are all interacting with each other.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Yeah, and like they probably don't know what the origin, like even if we know that they are like Judas's 30 pieces of silver or whatever, they, you know, they can be whatever.
Right.
But like, you know, Johnny doesn't know that. Johnny just knows that it's his magic lucky coin.
Yeah, it's the magic lucky coin that he's pretty sure brought him back to life.
Well, right. And
he's already a detective. So I'm sure he wants to figure out this mystery.
And I also like the idea that to kind of preserve a little bit of what, that he still tips with the coin, but it magically returns to him. That coin cannot leave him.
Well, then he's a bad tipper.
He's a bad tipper. Also in 2029, tipping someone a dollar is a real bullshit move.
That's true. They probably wouldn't even have. Well, no, they would still, because it's only 9 years in the future. Jesus Christ, that's only no.
10.
It's only 9 years in the future.
Think about 10 years ago.
Don't do this to me.
I was in college still.
So was I.
So, well, the difference is that I was in a 2-year college and you were in a 6-year college. So at some point.
It's fair. Well, 4 and then 2, but yeah.
That's 6 total college years counts. So anyway, what I'm saying is 10 years is a long time. Things can change or not change as much as you know, who knows? Who knows what will be? I mean, Disney will probably own every media property, including Hard Reboot, the Fabulous Hit podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to figure out? What else are...
I like the idea that he is pleasantly anachronistic. So, like, maybe in 10 years, paper money is almost gone, but that's how he exclusively pays for things. And people look at him like he's crazy.
We could take this away from being how he tips people and just, like, that's his calling card is on a silver coin. That looks like a silver dollar. Like, oh, yeah. You need the services of an investigator? Ching, here you go.
It's his business card. It's that's his business card.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I like that.
So can I back up to the why the Judas coins want to be gathered?
Sure. Obviously, other than recompense for the wrongdoings they were used to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you need an apocalypse, the blood money of Jesus is a good way to do that.
That's true.
Or if you go by Dracula 2000 logic, you need to bring them all together so that you can kill Dracula, who is also Judas.
Pretty good movie, actually.
He was
just doing that movie.
What, Dracula 2000, that was Gerard Butler, right?
That was Gerard Butler and Jerry Ryan.
That was a decent one.
Where can I watch this abomination? Because it sounds awful.
It's delightful. I don't know what you're talking
about.
I mean,
look, it's called Dracula 2000. It was made in 1999. I think you can figure out about the amount of quality you're going to get out of it.
Seven. I can get seven quality out
of it. I think you can get about seven quality from that.
But yeah, he hates silver because of the silver dollars. He hates sunlight because he died at sunset, so he can't stand the light. He feeds on the flock of the sheep that were, like, they do a thing, and it's great.
I mean, to be fair, the mythology adds up in a way that I find satisfying.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the Jesus blood money wanting to come together. So does that mean that they need to try to avoid each other? Because when all the 30 pieces of silver are together.
Yeah, what happens when the money comes together?
I mean, it's the apocalypse, right?
Sure, but I mean, every apocalypse. Like, it's got to be all of them. Yeah.
All of them.
Okay, so what if the only way to stop that apocalypse from happening, like, the apocalypse will happen if they all come together. And on a long enough timeline, eventually, because they want to be together, they will all come together.
Right. There's only 30 of them. It's going to happen.
Right. They'll each find a holder that can, because they can't do anything unless they're held. But when they're held, they can twist destiny.
So what if the only way to stop it is to destroy all the coins?
Oh.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, like, because, well, you could have it be like, if you destroy one, then all 30 can't be together and it doesn't work. But that seems like a cheat. So
well,
it seems
but,
like
right.
if any one of them is still around, the rest can, like, come back.
I was about to say, here's my thought, is the only way they can be destroyed is if they're together.
So that,
like,
that puts it in
a
weird
22.
Yeah, in a weird catch 22 win state. Yeah.
To where in order to destroy them, you must bring them together. But if you bring them together, then you start the end times.
Okay.
So,
okay. How about this? How about this? How about if they all come together, which they want to do, and individually each one of them has a Jackie Chan talisman power, right?
Uh-huh.
I feel like they're all much like much quieter powers than, like, you know, shoot lasers out of your eyes or turn statues to life. That one's actually pretty quiet. That one might make sense. But, like, they all have, like, pretty, like, subtle powers.
Oh yeah, like, and not even like, I kind of don't want them to be like traditional superpowers. I almost want them to be tied to that mythology.
Like, well, I mean, Johnny's coin is it keeps you alive as an immortal mummy, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. So, yeah. So
like, he's not a super strong mummy. He can't,
right.
You know,
and he still
teleport.
Feels pain. He can still suffer.
Yeah, he's not like invincible. I mean, he is. You can't kill him unless you destroy his coin. But he's like, it's going to take him a human amount of time to heal from things. Maybe a little bit better because he's a mummy. We got to give him some leeway. So maybe the coins bond to people, thus creating a Johnny Dollar, right? There's one for, you know, at least every continent, maybe more. Maybe, you know, one for every country is a little bit much because there's definitely more than 30 countries, I'm sure. So maybe it's like a thing where if it bonds with you, it goes inert. And so like then I guess the like you have to get it away from them. So there are people who just like have them who are just running amok with them. Like, oh, if I have this coin, then like there's always enough money in my wallet for whatever I purchase. Right. Like I just like pull it out. Like I need $100. There's $100. I need $100.68. Here's $1.68 in my wallet. I always have exact change. Like things like that. But there's also like some of the bigger ones. You got your Johnny Dollar. He's a mummy. You got Johnny Pound. He's super strong. You got
there's one that's got to be a psychic. Like yeah. Some sort of psychic.
Johann Deutschmark. He's got psychic powers from his coin. But then there's some that like haven't found the Johnny Dollar that they correspond with. So like just like regular people have them, and that's what's kind of running amok with these coins. It's like if the coins don't have someone to attach to, like someone like specific that they like want to attach to, then that's when they start getting weird and start like trying to bring them all together to apocalypse things up.
Yeah, and that I think can be this like those things can be the sources of whatever like, you know, Monster of the Week episode comes in between like the lore episodes.
Yeah, so maybe we're getting a little away from Frankenstein's on Birdie Scooters and werewolves.
We don't have to get away from that.
But no, we don't.
Maybe you know, one of the coins a million years ago was made, you know, used to make neck bolts, and you can turn people into Frankensteins with them.
Well, one Who of knows? Them could be super intelligence, and like it could get into the hands of Victor von Frankenstein and give them essentially mad science, and they put together this thing. I kind of want the powers to be a little double-edged, seeing as how, like, they're coming from the coins of Judas. I feel like if it's an explicitly good thing, that kind of runs counter to to the source of the magic. But I like it being double-edged somehow. So maybe the person whose wallet is constantly filling is taking that money from somewhere near them. Pulling the money out, but, you know, someone else over there is losing money out of their account or whatever.
That would be a good thing for him to investigate. Like, why, like, my rent is, like, I need to pay my rent, but, like, every time all my checks bounce or whatever.
Exactly.
You know? Okay.
And I don't understand what's going on. My money is disappearing.
Okay. I do like that. At the end of this show, if the thing is that they have to get all the coins together to destroy them, like, the thing that Johnny's coin does is keep him alive.
Oh, yeah. Johnny absolutely dies at the end of this
Johnny
book.
Johnny absolutely dies in the last episode of this show, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Unless we wanted to do a post-credit sequence, which teases that because he saved the world, he was granted life.
Jesus came like back and was like, thanks for giving the money back. Here you go, bud.
I wasn't going to say that, but like he
Jesus
was granted.
Jesus canonically raises the dead all the time. He absolutely
was granted the rest of his mortal life. Like, he was granted the life that was taken from him or something. I don't know.
I think that's a bridge we cross when we get to 100 episodes and we can go into syndication and we decide whether or not we want to end it or do 15 seasons like Supernatural somehow managed to do. But yeah, I definitely think at the end, like, he should die, and then maybe, you know, we'll figure out when we get there.
At the end of the show, there was some change in the state of Johnny Dollar. He doesn't just continue to be an alive mummy.
Yeah, and I also like that it's, like, not, like, all of them give you alive mummy again powers, because then it would be like, well, all 30 of us need to get together, we all need to die. It's like, no, only our main Johnny Dollar dies, because he's the one.
You just can't read minds anymore, but that's great because you can't control what minds you read.
Yeah, because like
hear them.
Like now you're good at it, but like when you first got that coin, you know,
just heard everything.
Johann Deutschmark was going nuts trying to get all this stuff out of there. All right, I think we have a pretty good show.
Also, the super strong guy, like his bones aren't super strong, so it's kind of a Deku situation.
I don't know. I think the drawback shouldn't always be that obvious, you know?
Okay.
Like, you're super strong, but you're only, like, because, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how can I punch super hard if my bones can't take it? You know?
True.
Because, like, with Deku, it
Except
makes sense.
Except that there is, you know, a full anime about that.
Excuse me, Alan. Halfway through season two, he learns how to control it so he can run 20% of it through. Well, I guess starting at five, he's up to 20 in the manga now. Through his body at all times, yes, so he doesn't just break his bones all the time.
And yes, and at one point, he unleashes 1,000,000% of his power that's a thing that you can do.
1,000,000% of his power. Not to spoil season four, but maybe he's going to get close to using 1,000,000% again. It's pretty awesome. That one has another factor to it, but I'm not going to get into
Anywho.
It.
Anywho.
It's good. My Hero Academia is very good.
Not saying it's not.
Okay, so we basically made What If the Lost Room was cyberpunk and had Judas's coins. And I think we don't learn that they're Judas coins until like halfway through season four.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like
that's
deep
a big
in the paint.
Mystery.
So here's the thing that we do. So whenever we have TV shows, like one of the last things we do is we kind of round robin. We just pitch like an episode idea. So everybody take a second to think of an episode idea, because it can be Monster of the Week. It can be more myth arc kind of based. It can be kind of whatever. But we've done this with, I think, most of the TV shows we've done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of my favorite parts of doing TV shows.
It's pretty great.
I have one.
Go ahead and kick us off then.
It's not really silver coin focused. It's more of like a regular insurance thing. And that is because it's cyberpunk and because corporations are kind of one of the over looming enemies. I think there's got to be something to do with this podcast's current bane, copyright laws.
Nice.
Specifically, like copyrights and like who owns the rights to what. So maybe there's some big corporation called the Balt Disney Company or something, right? And they got a very famous hamster or whatever, and they're making a whole bunch of money on this new cool hamster IP. And someone comes to Johnny and says, like, that's like my dad invented that when he was working for the cyber paper.
See, you just take the space helmet off and it's the same thing.
See, no, if you take the space helmet off, it's a horse. A horse is way more understandable than a horse in a spacesuit helmet. So it's like, I need you to prove that, like, they took that. And maybe this can be like one of the first season finale kind of like arcs, because like taking down one of the big companies is definitely like a bigger cyberpunk mm-hmm. kind of plot.
Cool, cool. I dig that a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, who's next? Not all at once.
I think I have one. And now here's the thing. Here's the thing. So what we've got is we've got this great little mythology that's got all the holders of the coins, which will include mm-hmm. some other Johnny's dollar.
Right.
Johnny Pound, all these guys, all these great guys.
Johnny Exact Change.
Oh, God.
Lives like a king, I bet.
Let's live our best life, and let's talk about what could be the backdoor pilot to the Johnny Pound spinoff series, where the two of them, Johnny Dollar and Johnny Pound, are set against each other. And have to do the Godzilla versus King Kong fight that we're all expecting in this next movie.
And then eventually become
friends.
Halfway through the second arc, Mechagodzilla shows up and they got to team up to fight the evil.
Exactly.
What's the Russian Johnny?
That's going to be this. It's going to be a two-parter. It's going to.
Johnny Ruble.
it's the two-parter, obviously. It crosses the mid-season break. And at the end of it, Johnny Dollar, like in the end of the first episode, Johnny Dollar is dead.
Dun dun dun.
Boom. Heavy air quotes.
Dead.
Johnny Dollar is dead.
So
it's the first time he dies in the series, because maybe we don't know he's immortal, like immortal.
Yeah. What if? Okay, so does someone like take the coin? Because what if somebody like steals his coin and he dies and turns into a corpse? And they're like, we have like 24 hours to get that back to him before he starts to stink real bad.
I love that's the consequence.
That might be its whole own episode. It's like all side character spotlight where they're trying to track down Johnny's magic coin so he doesn't rot too much to stand up anymore.
Okay, that's definitely what happens in like season two after we've already established this thing.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a twofer right there for you.
Dope. Alan?
I keep coming back to the one that you did, and I kind of want... So what if part of that is coin-based, but the coin allows, like, super creativity, but it seems like creativity because you're actually stealing other people's ideas?
No, so then now we're getting into an Ancient Alien situation where because white people didn't do it, it must have been aliens. Like you're taking away the human achievement of someone creating a thing, and then the corporation steals this thing that they didn't make themselves.
Right, but it turns out that they were doing it evilly, but anyways.
Well, I mean, no, because like anyone can steal an IP. You just go, that's mine now, and if you have more money than the other person, you can pretty much get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the trick. It's not magic. This is like a regular one.
Yeah.
So the other idea I was having was that it is in an art museum and the paintings are coming to life, but not a lot. Like kind of a weird Scooby-Doo dark, like the paintings are watching him, the statues are moving, and they're trying to figure out what's happening. Like art is going missing, but it's actually literally walking away.
Okay. Kind of a, and oh, what if it's Johnny's old museum that he used to work for?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So he knows all the secrets, but now he's all mummy wrapped up, so people don't know that it's him.
Exactly.
Because he was like insurance, he was like, you know, curator of the month every month, so he's got a million photos on the wall. That's probably not how real companies work. Matt, you got one?
Yeah, I feel like if we're going to have it have, like, maintain some sort of noir stuff, I feel like a lot of the best noir stories all involve, like, dumb land deals.
Absolutely. Like, Chinatown, Jake.
Like, real estate stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, what if there's an episode that's just straight up, like, a weird real estate thing where some, like... mega corporation, there is some person who lives in a home that is in a spot that like they don't want to sell the home, and
right,
like legally they're able to stop the megacorps from getting it, but then things start happening, like sinkholes start opening up in there. It's in San Francisco, and so they're able to be like, oh, we're on a fault line, so like sometimes this stuff happens. But the people who live in the house have a weird feeling about it.
Right.
And so they go to Johnny, and Johnny has to investigate it. And it's not so much that he's uniquely suited to doing it because what's happening is supernatural. But, like, whatever is going on is there's some, like, facility that's built in... at the North Pole, where they're, like, sending, like, earth tremors through the planet to mess stuff up to get themselves better, like, real estate deals. And the only nobody else has been messing with them because nobody can go there because it's, like, way too inhospitable.
Right, but Johnny Dollar's a mummy.
But Johnny Dollar's an immortal mummy in the future, so he can just, like, go there.
He just rolls up there. It's like, whatever.
I kind of love the idea of, like, we don't show him getting up there. We just, like, explain and, like, have, like, people talk about and show, like, the terrible climate and, like, how, like, no one can get to them. They're untouchable. The next shot is just Johnny, like, knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Right, like, just, like, his regular trench coat and some snowshoes.
He's like, it's -86 out here. Can you open this door right now?
Maybe even have a little bit of black frostbite on the tip of the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I also...
Like, I am fine, but my flask of whiskey is freezing.
Yeah,
please let
so,
me
like,
in.
Let's...
I can't keep a cigarette lit. Come on.
Yeah, dope. This show sounds like it would kick ass.
Right on.
Anything else we need to cover? We gotta name it.
Gotta name it.
Do we just call it Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar? Do we call it Johnny Dollar?
Maybe even just Yours Truly. Since we're bringing in more Johnny's Dollar, maybe just calling it Yours Truly. And that's how, like, every episode, since it's based on the radio drama, it's very formulaic. Maybe it ends with a letter that the last shot is Yours Truly and the signature Johnny Dollar.
That might be a little kitschy, but, like, I like just the name Yours Truly.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know. Yours truly is the name of a diner down the street from me, so I have weird feelings about it.
Is it at least a good diner?
It's fine. They deliver.
Oh, hey, you know, that automatically bumps them up the fine scale, right? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, I think works because then when we get our Johnny Pound, we get our Johann Deutschmark, we get Joanna Rublevich. Like, the name of the episode they are introduced in can be Yours Truly, Johnny Pound.
Yeah.
I like that.
Dope. I think all that we need now is for some angel investors to come give us a buttload of money and get to work.
Netflix, are you listening?
Yeah.
Man, I feel like doing this show has to be a monthly exercise in frustration for you guys. Because you sit here, you're like, we just had the best idea. Oh, shoot.
One of our ongoings is an ongoing Greek mythology cinematic universe, which is just Greek myths as superheroes, but none of the Greek heroes, they're all kind of the bad guys because they were all kind of the bad guys. But like Medusa, but what if she's like basically Captain America, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all I think about anymore is the Greek mythology cinematic universe. Like, I don't think about anything else in my spare time. Our Nick Fury was Sisyphus.
Sisyphus, that's right.
Who's in hell, and the second Avengers movie is them teaming up to break Sisyphus out of hell. See, this is, I just need a couple $100 million and we could make this happen. I can make this movie for $40 million.
So much
easy.
Fun with this.
Easily. Anyway, I think we got it, right?
Are we picking another one, or are we jumping into ongoings?
Next month is ongoing. Next month is yours.
It's yours, specifically, but, Alan.
Woo-hoo, yay.
Ongoing public domain superheroes.
100% remembered that.
Well, you've got 2 to 4 weeks to figure it out.
Cool.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, so we're doing ongoing next. We don't really have any other after action stuff.
No, Matt, thank you very much for coming on. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about Johnny Dollar several. I think we actually rolled Johnny Dollar once, and we're like, we don't know what that is. Let's just re-roll, and then we just like quietly re-rolled it. But like, I think we nailed it. I would love to watch this Johnny Dollar Mummy TV show.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Where can people find you and your projects? Almost said products. If you have any products, or maybe them too. Where can they find you on the internet?
You all can find me on the internet at, I'm on Twitter at Super Sentai Bros. The Super Sentai Brothers are a production of Retrograde Orbit Radio. If you'd like to listen to any of the other great Retrograde Orbit Radio shows, you can find them all at retrogradeorbitradio.com. A phrase that is very difficult for me to say. A lot of R's in that.
Lots of R's.
You nailed it for a while. Other than that, like that's pretty much the only place I am online. I don't have a bunch of other stuff going on.
Excellent.
Yet.
Ooh. Stay tuned.
I have so many dumb secret projects that might never happen, but they're all really good ideas.
Nice.
I think. That's what
important
matters.
Part. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to see everybody next month when we get to the third season, the third volume of the ongoing public domain superhero comics? What are they?
I think they're comics.
Is it comics? Okay, it's
think
been
this
a,
one's comics.
It's been about
I'm not
a year.
Sure.
I'll listen to them again before next time we record.
Me too.
How do we end an episode? It's been so long.
Well, it's pretty simple. I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And that's the end of the episode.
And you've been rebooted.
I think because we have a guest on, you were a little ashamed of yourself and like held back. And I think that's pretty telling about how bad the sign off is. Oh my God.
Jake, you made that happen.
Goodbye, all of our listeners.
Okay, we love you. Bye bye.
Hey, everybody. You can follow us at Rebootcast on Twitter, or you can email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. You can follow Alan at Alan_Sells. You can follow Jake at JJ_Mason, or you can follow me at Matt Hoadley. Thanks for listening. Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.